KTSM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso history with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Yeah, looks like we made it. Here we are.
Ah, yes. I got to fix my headphones.
Well, just plug in and turn on. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
How's the world treating you?
Just fine.
Well,
and you?
Cool. Well, we're the guys. Oh, I'm good. The El Paso History Radio Show, you found us. Call a friend and tell them you found us, because a lot of people that find it, once they realize, what the heck is that? Oh, I should tell so-and-so. So go ahead and call
them.
And
we get a lot of people that do that.
They really do. So we're adding people all the time. And we are the crowd, but basically to teach you El Paso history if you're interested. Not so much teach you, but just share it with you. Because you didn't learn it in public schools in El Paso. I got news for you.
Yeah.
If you went to public schools, you don't know our history, and that's just too bad. Occasionally, you'll find a teacher or a librarian who took some effort, but that's not a curriculum thing, so that's why we do what we do, because we are the guys that say Texas history begins in El Paso, and you know why.
Yes, so, I do.
Yeah, I do.
It's a great thing.
So, howdy, good morning.
Good morning.
Read your script. Howdy, good morning.
Howdy, good morning, and
whatever.
Then it goes to you. What? No, I...
that's KTSM AM 690. They can also find us somewhere on the internet.
Yes, they can. They can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and they can listen live all over the planet.
I got $20 food coupon to Pepe's if you have a good comment.
Ooh.
We're not doing the trivia thing, but if you have a good comment or question for our guest, and we deem it to be so, it's up to us. I mean, we could tell you the trivia is right or wrong, too, but you could fight with that. But it's our opinion, if you have a good comment or call.
Okay.
We'll give you something.
Yeah, and if you're shopping and you're looking for some stuff, a lot of people are starting to get ready for the holidays and such, go check out Mission Del Rey, their weekly radio show giveaway. For the first 5 listeners each week who use this coupon code during their checkout, you get, the code history, you will get a $20 coupon to use, and it must be redeemed online, and there is a $20 minimum purchase. But with a 20-buck coupon, well, you got it. It gives you $40 total to shop. And they have curbside pickup by appointment or shipping anywhere in the world.
It's a good thing. We'll give you the phone number later. You can call them up, make an appointment, get out there. That's a good
crowd. Or go to missiondelray.com.
Yeah, they'll tell you what's going on. History moment, you got one that's relevant today.
Yes, I did. It's a kind of a timeline for the history of San Elizario, which kind of started because of
today's topic, which is...
You like that?
I love that. Here's the topic. What was the Pueblo Revolt? Got to trill your R's there. It was August of 1680. All northern New Mexico Native Americans turned on their Spanish conquerors, killed many of them right away. The battles raged for days. Then the Spanish managed to get out of there and ran down the Camino Real to El Paso. Well, we have New Mexico and Texas historian Troy Ainsworth on the phone. And Troy is on the radio. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, y'all. How are y'all today?
We're doing fine, and you?
We're good in every way.
But doing good, it's good to see you both.
Yes, to see you too.
right through the video phone. Well, that's done
on the studio phone. Yes,
well,
right.
That's done all the time now, so you can't make a joke anymore. People do
now. It's pretty stale. That's right.
But anyway, you're the guy from New Mexico and Texas, and we are going to ask you to guide us through this major event in history. And we're going to also ask you, why is this a major event? Pueblo Revolt, but includes how the Spanish went back to northern New Mexico and regained their territory with a compromise or two. So if you don't mind, give us a summary of the Pueblo Revolt. What is a Pueblo, first of all? What's a Pueblo?
Spanish word for town. When basically when Coronado came up the river exploring present-day New Mexico, the villages that the Spaniards saw, they just called them pueblos because that's their word, Spanish word for town, of course. And you know, these are adobe constructed, one-story, two-story homes. So So they just associated the name with both the built environment and the people who lived there. So it was a Pueblo was a settlement, and Pueblo Indians are those people who lived in those settlements. So it's just applying the word to from what the Spaniards knew to how to describe what they were looking at.
And so they revolted against the Spanish who were there, right?
That's right. So you've got to think in terms that what was going on after Coronado. There's a half a century where there's no Spanish presence, of course, in present day New Mexico. But then at the end of the century, the 16th century, the Juan de Oñate Entrada. What's significant there is it was a colonizing entrada. It wasn't just for exploration to see what's in the interior of North America, but now we are the viceroyalty is actually going to establish a colony.
They came to stay.
Yes,
and
they
came to stay. Let's do
this.
Right. Let's take a look at the background of how the Spanish king was the ruling force in northern New Mexico.
Yeah, we have an audio clip about how the Spanish came into New Mexico, and it is a clip from a video that was on YouTube channel for El Paso History TV. The video is called The First Camino Real and is a clip where we hear how Spanish conquistador Don Juan de Oñate led a caravan north from Mexico through El Paso in 1598.
Oñate was leading subjects of King Felipe II of Spain north from Mexico City to establish a new Mexico. The crown wanted to expand Spain's territory and lay claim to vast areas of land. They planned to populate remote regions along the Rio Grande with Spanish settlers. Oñate's caravan included soldier farmers and their families, servants, slaves, and laborers. About 500 people in all. Catholic priests of the Franciscan order came to convert and organize the native population. Their mission was to Christianize the Indians and make them productive workers, growing crops and producing goods for the colony and New Spain. Oñate's 1598 expedition into Spain's northern territory was the first organized conquest of land in today's American Southwest, years before the English settlers arrived at Jamestown, Virginia, or the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock.
So there you have the Spanish from Europe going through Mexico. They took it over. Then they had decided, well, let's get some more of this North American land. So they sent Oñate up on a king-approved expedition to go grab as much land as he could. And whoever was there, they're going to go work for the king. So that kind of sets the conditions of what happened in 1598. A guy came through our location here in Texas, and the name right. El Paso came from that event. So take it from there, Troy. He went up there and established that. And 82 years later, they had this revolt.
And what you have, you can distill it down to two primary factors that are behind this entrada, this colonizing entrada. The first one is in the name itself. Of course, when Cortez arrives in 1519, the metropolis, the Aztec capital of Tenochtitlan, is opulent. It's there's wealth, there's good architecture. It's a very sophisticated and well developed civilization and culture. So there was a thought that there was another Mexico, literally that to the far north. Keep in mind the fables of the seven cities of Cibola, that there is a fabled cities of gold somewhere, and to the north, a Nueva Mexico. That's where the treasure is. These are the children of Coronado searching for gold in the American interior. So that's one factor. The other factor is European dynastic rivalry to colonize North America, basically the Dutch, the English, the Russians, the French, and the Spanish. So everyone's trying to carve up parts of North America. So Oñate's purpose was basically to move as far north into the interior, and European knowledge of the interior of North America was very sketchy at the time. But the notion was if Spain can lay claim, as Oñate did at the banks of near present-day San Elizario, Texas, where you have the La Toma, the ceremony, Oñate was going to enforce it with the king's blessing and stake claim far upstream into the interior of North America.
Well, he stood in San Elizario and said, everything north of here, where these waters come from, is now the king's.
And everything. The Irish, yes, Identical types of ceremonies were uttered in both English and French at different points in North America. So it was a lot of overlap.
Oh,
everybody was claiming the same land because they did not know the geography. But that's not really here nor there. But
no, and nobody asked the locals what their opinion was either.
Their opinion was really not requested one bit. That's right. It was, thank you for showing up and being present, but, keep it to yourself. So you can look at this, you can look at the period of time between, over that 82 years from 1598 until 1680, but we need to extend it up until 1696 as well. So it's almost one century of a very drastic change in the Pueblo world, and the revolt in 1680 culminates. I mean, it is the sum of a lot of pressure that had been building for a long time, and like a volcano, it just erupted in August of 1680, so 340 years ago, right now.
Well, the thing was that when the Spanish showed up, They brought the Catholic Church with them and tried, or I guess in some cases managed, to convince the local population that this is a religion they should embrace. And then didn't the Spanish systematically get rid of the old ways of the shamans and the medicine men and the history of their religion?
Yes, yeah. And one of the things, and you can look at any number of global examples of where the arrival of one group of people into a land occupied by another group, and one who has more power and is able to subsume the other group, by instituting their language, their customs, their food, their religion, their traditions, whatever it is, these very forces were going on in present-day northern New Mexico. Native religion was suppressed, of course. The Franciscans were adamant about that because the conversion to Christianity does not permit the worshiping of other idols, and that's exactly how the Franciscans were viewing the native religion. But one of the outcomes of the tension between the two cultures was the advent of the cult of the Kachina, which is basically an underground religion, practicing the religion in the kivas there in Spanish established pueblos, such as in the Salinas Pueblo area in the Manzano mountains south of Albuquerque.
Well, they kept it secret, right? They had to do it in secret.
They had to, yes, very much had to. But it was an amalgamation between Christian tradition and practice and native tradition. So it was something along the line where outwardly it appears to the Franciscans that these are devout Christians, but they're actually practicing kind of a hybrid religion.
Oh, my. Well, during the course of this 2 hours, we're going to explain the whole thing top to bottom. But another piece of the puzzle, that when the Spanish arrived in northern New Mexico, they didn't just stop there. They went up into Colorado. They went over into Arizona.
Yes.
They went into Oklahoma. They were doing all kinds of things to try to grasp, basically find the cities of gold. And it's a typical joke, but not really. I think they actually pulled it off when the Indians say, oh, you want the cities of gold? See that far that far mountain range? Just beyond
just
that.
Just keep going.
Beyond
yep,
that.
Masaya.
It's over there.
Keep going,
dude.
Yeah,
and that happened.
Don't turn left.
It happened constantly. And the Spanish, for a long time, kept buying that. And the guys on the Coronado expedition went through this 50, 60 years earlier than Oñate, and they were told the same thing. And so it's just a matter of perception, and once the Indians figured out what the Spaniards were up to, they figured out how to play them. But after a while, the Spanish weapons won the war, and every battle in between. So that's the topic that we'll be getting into today. And basically, to put a summary on this, Troy Ainsworth here, and to put a summary on it, Troy, the basic thing was that this was the largest event in Native American history where they actually prevailed. And they never prevailed again.
That's right, because you can look at individual engagements. You can look at Greasy Grass, at Custer's Last Stand, mm-hmm. which occurring in 1876 during the centennial celebration. I mean, this is deeply shocking to the American psyche. You know, out on the frontier, Custer and his men are wiped out. But that was one engagement.
But that didn't last. The U.S. Army came back and wiped those people out, didn't they?
Yes, because it all ends at Wounded Knee, you know, 14 years later.
Okay, but here's the point. We have right now, because of the Pueblo Revolt, is my opinion, we have an Indian tribe from north New Mexico living now in El Paso. They are the Tiguas.
Right.
And there's another
That's
one,
right.
the Piros, who came from Socorro. Then in addition to that, Troy, you've also got the fact that the Indians in the northern New Mexico area are sovereign. You can't do anything with their land without their permission, and that's why they have casinos.
That's right, and that is from the third state of the Union address in December of 1863 when President Lincoln acknowledged the sovereignty of the Pueblos in New Mexico. And it was a very deliberate move on his part.
And we got to take a break here, but he did not acknowledge the Pueblo that was in Texas, Confederate Texas.
Exactly. That would make perfect sense, of course, at the time.
That made huge difference in the Tigua's future, and we'll talk more about that. Taking a break here, Troy Ainsworth is on the phone. PhD Troy, Dr. T. Roy, I call him. And your background is in academia, but basically it was architectural history. And just to put a point on that, you were the first ever, not really, you were the first that I remember architectural historian to become the officer of preservation in El Paso. The office had been vacant for a decade when you got it, right?
It had been vacant for something in the neighborhood of 17 years.
Oh, my God.
My most immediate predecessor.
So
yes, sir.
That's where I found you. And today we find you doing that same job in the city of Las Cruces, New Mexico.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yep, back on the border.
We'll
get
more to that in a minute. We can take a call, Melissa, can we not?
Yes, we can.
And a Facebook thing?
And you can Facebook on there. You can check it out. In fact, we had over 11,000 visitors to our Facebook page on this topic.
Oh, my God.
It's obviously a topic people are interested in.
Also, we'll take an email at ephistory690.
Right. And they can call us
at gmail.com.
Yeah. And they can call us at 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
ALS doesn't stop for COVID-19, and neither should you. Register for the 20th annual New Mexico Walk to Defeat ALS. This year, it'll be a little different. As part of the ALS virtual walk, you can walk, run, skateboard, or bike in or outside for a 5K or 1 mile your way. Take to your local trails or neighborhoods September 27th to walk to unlock ALS. Register at web.alsa.org/New Mexico Walk.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got D. Troy Ainsworth, Dr. Troy, on hold here for a second. We do all kinds of things to talk about here. Radio show on Facebook, you know about that. Go to facebook.com/El Paso History Radio Show. Give us a message. And you've got some coming in already. And also, you can be sure to look at us on our TV channel, which is El Paso History on YouTube. El Paso History TV on YouTube.
On YouTube?
YouTube.com. Go there. But what you do when you get there, you'll find 120-some-odd videos. And we have two playlists where we have 20 pieces that we ran on ABC7 over the last 3 years. And those are all compiled into one thing with Mr. Bernie Sargent being Mr. Reporter with his cowboy hat. So he went all over the place. And then we've got some DVDs and other documentaries up there, like the clip we played today from the first Camino Real. That was the name of the video that we did for CARTA, the Camino Real Tierra Adentro Association. And that's a very descriptive thing. If you don't know what the Camino Real is and what it means to El Paso, listen up and go look at some of those videos. Anyway, they're all out there. YouTube.com, El Paso History TV. We've got some brand new people subscribing. Last night, David Whitlock joined us. He's a subscriber now, El Paso History TV on YouTube. And Mitch Curry, C-U-R-R-E-R-I, and Jay Gomez, they came in this week. Got a whole bunch of people coming on regular. So
that's good.
It's an interesting thing to watch.
They're interested in history. It's a good place to go. It's fun and entertaining.
You learn a lot.
And it's not just dates and places. They kind of really go through it, and that's good.
We take you there. What do you got to talk about?
Well, I wanted to mention that Jim Tolbert is planning his fall 2020 schedule for hikes and outdoor adventures that start in September and run into Celebration of Our Mountains, like I run into a mountain. We'll abide by local orders regarding masks and social distancing. So they're going to be covering their sims themselves on that.
They get on different peaks of the mountain and yell at each other.
Yeah, I know. And who knows what it's going to be like at that time, too. And they have their own guidelines on carpools. So, you know, give Jim Tolbert a call if you want it, 915-525-7364, or go to Celebration of Our Mountains. You can Google the site. It says it's hard to explain, but just Google Celebration of Our Mountains, and you will find him. He's sitting on a mountain waiting for you.
Ask for Diego.
Diego.
Diego. Hey, Troy Ainsworth, dude, there is so much to talk about on this whole thing of the Pueblo Revolt. We basically had Oñate 1598, 82 years later, they all revolted. But it wasn't just an overnight, hey, let's get excited. It took about a decade or two of a guy named Pope. And it's his picture, it's his statue that we have on Facebook. And that statue, this three-dimensional big thing, is in the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., as one of the statues put there by New Mexico.
That's correct.
So
because each state, of course, has a selection of who to in statuesque form, who to represent their state.
In Statuary Hall, of all places. It's in the house side of the Capitol. But the thing about Pope, when he was earlier, he was one of the shamans that was trying to conduct the ceremonies of the old days and got caught, and they killed a bunch of them. He was in prison for a while in the 1670s, apparently. Take it from there, because he ended up turning a heck of a revolt on.
Exactly, because Pope, a Tewa leader, he was from San Juan Pueblo. 1675, he and 46, 47 others, the religious leaders, were taken into custody. They were apprehended, and they were charged with plotting to overthrow the Spanish government. That was the basic charge that they were leveled, that was leveled against them. Three of those leaders were executed. Pope, all the others were harshly punished. And for Pope, this was terribly humiliating, as well as requiring revenge. So when we look at the events of 1680, they did not just spontaneously occur in August of 1680. It was the culmination of years' worth of cultural and religious pressure. And one other true contributing factor was the problem of drought. And in particular, from the year 1667 to 1672, during that five-year span, there was a severe drought in much of the Southwest. And the problem for the natives is that they were up against the encomienda system, which the Spanish brought with them. And that's basically the equivalent in the American South would have been sharecropping. Okay, it's not quite slavery, but it's not freedom of labor either. So the natives were required to grow a certain number of fanegas of corn and other crops to provide to their host, the Spanish.
That's saying nicely, and the hosts, yeah.
Yeah, the host. And the rain is not falling, so the crop is not growing, and you have starvation. Now, keep in mind, at about the time that Oñate arrived, the population was estimate of native population in New Mexico was probably around 40,000 people.
Wow.
But by the time of the revolt, it was their population had dropped to about 15,000 people in 82 years.
Was it illness, or did they just kill them all?
A combination thereof, but primarily, keep in mind, native peoples did not have immunity to any number of diseases that were brought up the Camino Real unintentionally. But that was part of it. And so, measles and smallpox in particular were devastating. When your population is reducing, the rains are not falling, you have suppression of native religion, you have cultural clash. So Pope, he fled. He went somewhere to the west, and he recuperated, regathered, and when he returned to the northern Pueblos, one of the most important factors that occurred there in 1680 is the fact that the plan was devised in great secrecy. It was not betrayed, and there was a universal acceptance in the northern Pueblos for Pope's leadership, that he would be guiding the entire uprising, which is very important. Rather than each Pueblo acting independently, it was going to be a unified effort, which is one of the reasons why it is the one and only native uprising against Indo-Europeans that was sustained for a period of time, in this case, a dozen years.
Troy, let me ask you something. Vince Sanchez, one of our favorite listeners, he sent me a note about two runners, Catua and Umtua, who were Tescu Pueblo runners, and Tesuque Pueblo rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that story on them?
Okay, those two were to deliver very detailed plans to various Pueblos, because the date that was set was August 11, 1680. Those two were actually taken into custody near Tesuque on August the 9th. Now, they had basically, they've got the goods on them. The Spanish didn't know what they meant, but they were highly compromised.
That was the knotted cord of yucca, right? Is that?
That's it. That's exactly right. So when word immediately spread that the runners have been taken by the Spaniards. Fortunately, there was not a moment of panic, but there was a moment of plan revision. So in order to prevent any untoward problems by a delay, what happened was Pope moved the revolt up one day and immediately spread the word.
And they did not all get the message either.
They did not. And you also had reluctance on some of the southern Pueblos. That's where you have the Piro, the Tom Piro, down in the Tiwish area of Socorro and south of Albuquerque, of the ones who ultimately traveled south with the Spanish during the exodus down to the El Paso district. But to the runners, the plan did not revealed. It was just moved up one day. So on August 10, that's when the actual uprising began in a concerted effort.
Let's do a summary real quick and take another break here. What happened was everybody in the Pueblo world, all of a sudden on that morning, uprose and killed any Spaniard they could find, basically, right?
They did, and their fury was primarily, this is key, was primarily directed at the Franciscan missionaries. Right, so religion is really the key to understanding the anger and the fury of the native uprising. It was primarily on that one point. All the other factors play into it: drought, the encomienda system, the suppression of language, the whole nine yards. But it is the religious aspect in which natives vented, and they really took it out on the Franciscans. I think they killed, oh my gosh, how many?
Dozens.
About 21 Franciscans, Franciscan priests were killed.
And then it took the soldiers another couple of days, in some cases even a week or two, to finally decide, okay, these Indians are killing us. We got to leave. Let's leave it there for a break, Troy, because where did they go, Troy, when they got a chance to leave? El Paso.
El Paso. Yep.
That's why we're involved in this. Troy Ainsworth on the phone here talking to us from Las Cruces. Appreciate you doing that. And we can take a phone call and we can take an email. Email is ephistory690@gmail.com. And then you've got Facebook on El Paso History Radio Show.
Right.
And we're getting a lot of comments on that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Here they come.
A lot of people there. A lot of great things. So,
and also that phone number, that magic phone number to talk live is
915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
Social distance doesn't mean that you have to be socially distant. It's time to advertise and let your customers know that you are here to earn their business. Call 1-844-BUY-RADIO and let us build out a media plan that will bring customers back to the places they need and love. iHeartMedia, 1-844-BUY-RADIO. Call us now.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia. A full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
They had snuck in the night and committed these murders. Nobody had a clue about who or a why.
You got eight people dead, and things like that don't usually happen in a small town. I mean, they don't usually happen anywhere. Somebody was trying to send a message. I don't think there can be any doubt about that.
They couldn't have written a more sinister story than what's playing out in Pike County, Ohio right now.
Find the Piketon Massacre on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We took a vote. There's too many commercials, but that's life in a fast lane when you're popular. Here we are.
That's right.
But
smells
also,
soap.
And also one of them was Patrick Tuttle. Call him up at 588-1850. Ring his pocket and say, hey, Jackson told me to do this. 588-1850 is his cell. But what he's got, he's a great real estate guy. He's gave us some real good advice this week. We've had a number of offers on a property we're selling, and he drove right through the middle of it and did a good job.
That's what you need.
But he can do it. The thing is, he also has rentals.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for that, 588-1850. So you got Mr. Del Rey?
Well, and you know, we have our sponsors that we get support history. That's a cool thing. And Mission Del Rey is no different. They have merchandise online at missiondelrey.com, and you can go look at their extensive online catalog, have your gifts and decor shipped to your door or anywhere in the world. And please go to missiondelrey.com and support our local businesses.
Good stuff there. Troy Ainsworth, we still got this going on, this battle in northern New Mexico. The year is 1680. It's August,
right.
And by about this time in August, what are we at, the 22nd? By about now, the Spaniards had realized, okay, this isn't going well, and they had better get out of Dodge big time. So they were trying to figure out how to do that. They were sending messengers around, and they figured out that the guys in the southern part had already taken off.
That's right. Okay, and there actually is a very legitimate administrative reason for that. I think perhaps many people are familiar with the basaltic geological formation, La Bajada, north of Albuquerque, about midway point between Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
It's a steep rise, isn't it?
Yeah, the big hill that's right there. It's a major point on the Camino Real. Basically, along that line, east-west, north of there was the Rio Arriba Administrative District, and south was the Rio Abajo. The governor of New Mexico resided in Santa Fe at the Casas Reales, the governor's palace, and the lieutenant governor was south at the Pueblo of Isleta. And basically, because of the extent of the terrain, they divided the administrative offices, if you will. So
that's interesting, the spread between the two.
Yeah, that's right. And the lieutenant governor, Alonso Garcia, was at Isleta Pueblo when he learned of the uprising and was unsure of the fate of Governor Antonio de Otterman. And because of that, he was initially indecisive and then decided to begin retreating to the south, to go back to the El Paso del Norte area. But communication was established between the two. He held up and waited for the governor and the refugees to catch up with them, basically near Alamillo, near the Socorro area, Socorro, New Mexico area. And what's real important is that about August the 13th, so you're talking about 3 days into the revolt, a Tano speaking native who had just had the eponymous name of Juan, he spoke Spanish, and he actually rode in to Santa Fe to parlay with Governor Oterman and basically let him know there are many more of my people who are about to surround your little Casas Reales.
Thousands.
And we are going to rub you out. But this is one of my favorite ironies in all of North American history. He said, my people are bringing two crosses, great big wooden crosses. One is painted white, and the other is painted red. You pick which one. Do you want peace, or do you want death?
Goodness.
Hint, hint, hint.
Yeah, and they painted them on a Christian cross, which is very ironic. So
Oh, yeah. You
can see that this is not they're not taking this lightly. Well, Oterman apparently didn't like either option, and what he decided was to offer a counter proposal. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do. I will pardon all of the leaders of this uprising, and we'll just – everybody just go home, and bygones will be bygones. And that was totally unacceptable. Juan rides off basically mocking the Spanish, and right after that, yes, his people arrive. 1 week later, it's a week-long siege, and this is when Oterman decides to leave on about the 21st, the 22nd, evacuate Santa Fe to the south. And en route to the south, there was a man who was from, Alameda Pueblo, which is in the present-day Albuquerque area. It's right there near the Sandia Mountains. He was fleeing to the south as well. He was traveling with a small party, and Oterman asked him. He, you know, they took him, brought him to Oterman, and he wanted to know why. Why did all of these natives rise up against us? And the basic answer was, you took our religion from us.
Yeah.
You took everything.
Our religion. And that was the crux of the entire uprising.
Yeah.
Well, Troy, you know, the interesting thing is Susan Shelby McGoffin, right? Along the Rio Grande Trail. She talked of leaving in the, it was 1840s, 18, yeah, I think it was 1840s they left Santa Fe. And she spoke of the uprising and problems then. And so you're talking how many years?
Still going on.
And you would have thought, oh, what do you mean you're all upset? I mean, it took them a long time to realize what was going on. If they had changed their attitude, I think things would have gone a lot better for them.
One more break here, Troy, and when we come back in this hour, sum up how they got to El Paso and how'd that work. And then when they got to El Paso, what did they do? Because next hour, we're going to talk about how they turned around and went back more than once. They were repelled the first time. But also the ultimate thing here, as we mentioned in the beginning, the outcome of the Pueblo Revolt of 1680 in northern New Mexico, where they all came down to El Paso, the Spaniards did. The outcome was there were two tribes brought to El Paso that are still here, one recognized, one not. But on the other hand, it's the reason that those tribes in northern New Mexico are sovereign, and they all now can put a casino on their land if they want to. So we'll come back in a minute and deal with that. And then also we got you till noon. So it may take that long because the details on this story.
Take weeks.
Well, it's an amazing story. But see, what
in different levels of it.
The thing is, though, this is one of the most untold interesting things about American history. The people who wrote the history books that I studied from were English. And so that came from the East Coast to El Paso, and that's what we were taught. But if you really want to know the history of the West, you got to look north and south, which is what we're doing today. So there. Ah.
This may be two paragraphs in a state-adopted grade-level history textbook in New Mexico or even in Texas, if it even appears in a textbook. Two paragraphs might be generous.
Texas doesn't even mention the fact that any of this occurred, so that's why we do what we do. All right, back in a moment, 544-5876
or 544 KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 833-8ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. Give us. Call us today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information. Housing lender, license in all 50 states, and MLS number 3030.
If you want to increase sales and attract new customers, you need online. Keys Digital Marketing helps businesses of all sizes create affordable digital marketing that works. From websites to social media campaigns, we'll find the right strategy to reach your customers all day, every day. Never advertised online before? Not a problem. We do it all so you can focus on running your business. Make the power of digital marketing work for you. Visit us now at keysdigitalmarketing.com. That's Keys. KeysDigitalMarketing.com.
Enjoy family-friendly movies each weekend beginning August 14th through the 30th at Movies on the Fly, located at Hangar 7 Studios. Your favorite films on El Paso's largest drive-up movie screen. Details, directions, and tickets at ElPasoLive.com.
If the next step for your business is finding a high-impact hire, try Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply.
They had snuck in the night and committed these murders. Nobody had a clue about who or a why.
You got eight people dead, and things like that don't usually happen in a small town. I mean, they don't usually happen anywhere. Somebody was trying to send a message. I don't think there can be any doubt about that.
They couldn't have written a more sinister story than what's playing out in Pike County, Ohio right now.
Find the Piketon Massacre on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by iHeartRadio, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on. You got something you need to read here about McGoffin?
Oh, I just want to say, McGoffin Home State Historic Site is open for tours by reservation from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Sundays. Give them a call at 533-5147 and say hello to them. And yeah, it's the El Paso's only house museum.
If you want to visit Susan Shelby McGoffin, she's kind of stiff.
Yeah, she's kind of stiff, but she's pretty.
She's in bronze.
With her dog.
And her dog, and she's standing up in Keystone Heritage Park.
Yes, amongst beautiful trees and such a nice place to sit and reflect.
That is where the, I think that would be one, two, three. That was the third one or the fourth one?
That was the third one.
The third 12 Travelers Monument is there at Keystone. Okay, Troy Angels, we got you here for a couple more minutes. I'm not sure how many because my clocks are kind of weird, but at some point we'll know. But here's the thing, Troy. Once these guys all gathered up and they decided they're leaving Albuquerque area, they had to fight their way out of some places when they did that. They ended up coming. They grabbed the Tiguas in the southern part at the Isleta with an I, that pueblo. Some of those people were sympathetic and some were not, but they grabbed them to come with them. Then what they did, there was like 80 haciendas. And 80 haciendas and churches and everything, all the way down to El Paso. They cleaned them out of all their artifacts, and they ended up in Socorro, New Mexico, and they took a tribe, the Piros, there, right?
Yes, and what was brought
south and wound up in the end.
You went digital on me. Move your phone. You went digital on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
That's better.
All right. No, when the during the retreat south, if you will, what was carried and brought, what, you know, the artifacts, documents, and whatnot that survived, the same cannot be said up in the north. To my knowledge, the total number of extant written documents that predate 1680, total exactly 4 that survived being burnt in northern New Mexico.
Okay, but now, what happened then, they brought them down to El Paso, and here is the legend of the Lost Padre Mine, right?
Yeah. You have, and this is right in keeping with the native understanding that the Spaniards love gold, perhaps more than anything else, and they have gold fever. They are convinced that it exists everywhere. And so, as you pointed out a little bit ago, you know, they're going to play up that whole notion and keep these folks searching in vain as far away from the Rio Grande as they possibly can, send them out into the interior. Perhaps they will die out in Kansas.
They hope so.
You know, sort of thing. Yeah.
We've got about half a minute here. Half a minute.
Yeah. Okay, it's like just go away and leave us alone. So, you know, it's real important to understand that the natives understood the Spanish mentality and understood how to exploit it.
There's our music, Troy. We got to go for this hour. What happened was they brought all that stuff down to El Paso and they took it all and hid it in the Franklin Mountains, and that's the Lost Padre Mine. All the chalices, the gold plates, whatever came up.
That's the legend. That's right.
That's the legend of the Lost Padre Mine. You can see it from the Church of Juarez. There you go for that. Next hour, we'll tell you what happened next, because these guys turned around and tried to go back.
Yep.
First time didn't work. See you after the news. Melissa, you're coming back.
Yeah, I'll
you're
be
not
here.
Going anywhere.
Nah, I ain't going nowhere.
See you after the news. Thank you all.
The El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Hi, this is Jim.